Grace and peace be unto you all. Let's talk a little bit about servants and self-esteem again. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh a reward. Deuteronomy 10:17. We live in a world of the first person possessive. Have we forgotten our place before the Almighty God? Just how do we look upon ourselves? Just what does the Word of God tell us about ourselves? A lot. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. John 13:16. Isn't the glorification of self born of lust? And when lust has conceived, doesn't it bring forth sin? And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. James 1:15. When we servants look to glorify ourselves, don't we look for the respect and esteem of others for whatever our purpose? Shouldn't the sovereign Lord God respect us, real special big shots? The Bible tells us in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Peter tells us in Acts 10:34-35, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Fear of God and living humble, holy lives is regarded by our God, not our status. There is little, if any, visible unity among the servants of the Lord today. And are not the servants become masters themselves, allowing debates and gossip and fomenting strifes and divisions and open contention? The evident fruits of division are many. We have esteemed ourselves, not God or our brethren. And good old blind belly-loving pride is at the root of all this once again. Doesn't Romans 9:21 cause us any fear or reverence of the God who ordains our paths? But all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Matthew 23:5. We tend to hang many a bell from our phylacteries, don't we? Oh, but I do an important work. I'm indispensable. Hogwash. My ministry is important because of what I did to build it up. Arrogant. We list our qualifications and great academic achievements to prove our worth. And to what end? No, the vessel is used, not glorifying itself. Are we who preach the truth and care for the flocks now risen even higher than Jesus Christ? Seems so in too many cases. The pots are now independent of the potter, and each has gone his own way. What did God tell Ananias in Acts 9 about Paul? For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Well, who chose Paul's calling? By our very decidedly self-motivated actions today, too many of us have chosen our own callings, not God the Father. How blind are we that we do not see the evidence before us? just how much unity of purpose is there among the workmen in the diverse ministries out there? Discernment will bring out the bottom line for many of these godly purveyors of truth: a self-motivated agenda. We should carefully take the time to examine the branches down to the roots of many a calling, especially our own. We are reckless and not reflective. We are heady, not humble. We are self-appointed, not chosen, Jeremiah 14:14, and with no fear of the awesome responsibilities that accompany the task which God takes up through his vessels. We advertise our own initiative, our strengths, and we skillfully snatch the glory from the hand of he to whom our ministries belong. Many have sadly become they whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Job 8:14. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. Job 41:27. By our actions, the straw has become iron and the rotten wood brass. And before a terrible God, can we stand, truly stand, upon our own feeble merits as deserving heaven? We should bow down in thanks to God for simply being used by God, for his purpose, for his pleasure. And the scripture backs it up. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew 5:20. Righteousness in this passage speaks of a self-generated kind, not righteousness coming from what's inside of you. Remember, he told the Pharisees they're dirty on the inside, clean on the outside. And who could top the Pharisees? Jesus told us it would take a righteousness far greater than that generated by the self-esteeming Pharisees to enter heaven. He also implies that this is impossible. Jesus implies that there is a different righteousness by which we enter into life. Indeed, his righteousness and not our own. And by faith, a gift, we are accounted righteous. We do not give God glory for the things we have done. We give God glory for the things he has done. And that goes for everybody. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah 64:6. I ask, what can we do for God? I reply, nothing that he doesn't do through us first by his own will. Leaving true servants as used and humble as they started. Nor did they start humble in the first place. Why shouldn't we ask these questions? Do God's servants take the time to examine themselves every mile or so along the road? Doesn't self-crucifixion play a role as it does with others? Do God's servants contemplate their frightful responsibilities for souls? Do God's servants discern readily the motives behind their own actions? Are these motives sent of God's Holy Spirit or self-generated? We have become vain in our own conceits, and surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Job 35:13. many ministers have become greater than their Creator. Too many ministries have not been called of God, truth or no truth. Too many ministers care only for their reputations, justifying themselves. They care for their bank accounts, of course, and their facades. Too many ministers esteem their own fallacious worth to God's kingdom, and not their own worthlessness in God's eyes. Jesus Christ is whom God sees in us, not us. And if the ministers do not humble themselves, how then can the message of humility, total surrender to God, or repentance ever be heard? Dear minister, brethren, Jesus Christ himself said, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Luke 16:15. That's the righteousness or the esteem of the Pharisees. Isn't there a spirit of the Pharisees with us today? And that is, Jesus' words are just pure and simple condemnation of the servant. It's motive, motive, motive. God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. If we be not reprobate, can we believe that we can hide any intent from the eyes of God that will not be found out? Is the root holy that the lump be holy? A little prideful leaven is not good food. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, 1 Corinthians 9:13. And do the proud, the boastful, and self-serving reside in God's temple, wait at his altar? Does God reside with them? Isaiah 57:15, as I've stated before, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Wow, what an intro, huh? The Lord says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 34:18. God says he will look upon a man who is humble and fears him, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66:2. His son, Jesus Christ, is all of this and more. And this is our example. He was humbled. Remember those who brought their boastings of their achievements before Jesus in Matthew 7:22. Look what we did, Lord. And remember what Jesus told them. Jesus didn't tell them their achievements were bad, absolutely not. Jesus told them their achievements for him were more important to them than him and his will. He didn't see his reflection in them. These great works would not get them into heaven because their motives were wrong. You can't work to get into heaven. And this is Christianity today. This is the ministry today. Look at me and what I have done. Spreading the gospel and warning the flocks by God's calling isn't enough. It doesn't bring in enough mammon to keep a minister home or popular or respected or well-fed and far from the reality of a true servant's life in Christ. In today's fat world, we are told to be separate, humble, and suffering the absence of worldly wealth and any status. We remain hungry travelers still, sent of God to preach his kingdom and tend his flocks. Today's ministers sit in cushy offices and esteem only their wealth and their reach and their prominence. This is condescension? Romans 12:16? Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? What kind of an answer would the Lord God get from some of these folks, hmm? Oh, well, we're feeding the flocks. Yeah. That passage was from Ezekiel 34:2. Take a look at the mega and a lot of mini ministries of God out there. Of God, quote unquote. Shepherds today wear expensive clothes. They have wealth and holdings in the world's markets. They make a living at ministering. Ministering is not their life. Their ministry is. Think about it. They buy and sell like profiteers, and do the sheep of their folds get fed and clothed, edified, told the whole truth? They are fed lies and are used for profit and gain. They're merchandised. 2 Peter 2:3. And take a look at website ministries and note that these showy Pharisees have their pictures plastered all over it. Big smiles. They are called pastors. Hey, and their wives are too. They post their accreditations and schooling and achievements. Well, I wrote a book, so I have more credibility than the average guy preaching humility. You must support my ministry. Humble, eh? And we're supposed to follow these shepherds? They all feed themselves. What, the best food? No. How about their egos? They're indispensable. The kingdom of God could not do without them. Their phylacteries are broad like the road they walk. They esteem themselves. Make no mistake. And we're so impressed by these posers, aren't we? It's just one big happy Christian world, isn't it? It is a fractured conglomeration of competitive players, self-ordained into a lucrative service that should call servants into servants by the Spirit of God only. The callings come from bellies, not from the Holy Spirit. And all this trash is under the phony aegis of a totally different Jesus Christ. And think what this all does to the flocks. The ditch is full of the blind. Listen to the wolves closely for a bit. How many times is I, me, or my mentioned, or the corporation mentioned? Hmm? Or in the case of the cowards, our or we? And it's really interesting. You get one guy in a ministry, and all of a sudden he's using the word we. You know, who's the we? Legion? When someone says, my ministry, as they trumpet their achievements, it's a dead giveaway. At these blowhards have their own status and reputation in mind, not the glory of God. Back to Romans 16:18. God ordains men to God's own ministries, of which men are stewards, not lords. Sadly, when I look on these reprobates handling these great pearls of the word, I see men with blood-soaked hands and evil self-serving hearts. Well, the Lord Jesus told his people to listen to what the Pharisees say, but not to do. Not to do what they do, because they preached God's word, the law, to the people, and they were right on the beam. Their actions did not speak of what should have been going on in their hearts. And many a pharisaical minister today preaches great truth, but he don't live it. So, listen. Do what they say. Listen to the word. But don't follow them as an example. The best way to do that is get out and stay out of the churches. And be careful who you look to as an authority. Be careful. You know, maybe I'm not focused in reality here, huh? Well, so be it to some of you. But I still see a wilderness that is expansive, and I hear very few watchmen around the camp. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Isaiah 5:12. There is no unity of godly purpose today in the world of Christianity. There is unity, of course, in formats, wording, claims, architecture, and works. But freedom through Christ has become a free-for-all. And this won't flush before Christ. Impress God with your humility. Impress God with your contriteness. Impress God with your constant need for Him. Impress God by telling Him that He has given the gifts and He has filled the vessel. Impress God with your fear of Him. When we humble ourselves, we certainly will not be esteemed by others. And a servant of the Lord must be humble. When we strive to impress others, we blaspheme the only one fit to minister, the one who ministers through us, even God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Many an angel of light. Class and status has replaced love and humility. Reputations supersede repentance. Ministers as well as sheep heed the word of God now and remove the hypocrisy from among you and your flocks. If we follow the real Jesus Christ, we follow His example. And He told us that He is, quote, meek and lowly in heart, end quote. The meek and lowly in heart shall find rest unto their souls. That's Matthew 11:29. Therefore, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Romans 12:16. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 14:19. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11:26. You want to esteem something? Esteem the Master's sufferings, which you are to share with Him. So likewise, you servants, you ministers, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. The words of Jesus Christ. Luke 17:10. Folks, is it I, me, my? Or is it he, him, his? Time is short, and the harvest of souls through Jesus Christ draws near to completion. If you belong to God through Jesus Christ, you do not belong to yourselves. And you have no right to draw up from your place and make yourselves anything greater than the dust from which you were created. Fear God, the God of our salvation. Fear Him, and do not rise up out of rebellion and consideration for your lives. Self-esteem is rejection of God Himself. It is idolatry. It is an abomination and has no place before the throne of our selfless Father, except to be judged and thrown into hell. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Deuteronomy 32:39, the very words of your God. Fear God and live.